morning, everyone, and welcome to the January 2020 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host, Jake Nieder, today. Thanks for being with us. What a wild past few weeks it's been as we've closed out 2019, and I think we're all grateful to say goodbye to that year. But I'm joined today with BK Morris from CRU, who is with us and will give us an update on the market. And I have Brian Fahey-Blake, who's with us as well, our ADM soybean merchandising manager. And we'll talk about the grain markets, the fertilizer markets, to help paint a point of view for you that hopefully will help enhance your decision-making process. So with that, BK, if you're on, could you join us and kind of give us an update on what you're seeing in the fertilizer market?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is BK with Fertilizer Week. Not often I get to start with potash on this call. As you're sure mostly aware, Nutrien led the way out of the gate with what I'm going to describe as a fill program. As you know, the terminal price is around 260, which most of the Midwest market of the independent distributors up there had already anticipated and had moved their prices down to about that level, not a little bit lower. This also matches up well with the potash number at the U.S. Gulf, which is 220 at NOLA, which works out to about $236 metric CFR. Why bother to tell you that? Well, it means we're still well below the nearest major competitor as a buyer for potash, which is Brazil. They're still, at least their most recent CFR business was around 270, or at least that's what the suppliers are telling the publications. That means we're not in a heck of a lot of danger of attracting imported potash. The exception to that is going to continue to be the BPC tons. I have one cargo scheduled to arrive this month, and one cargo, I'm told, is scheduled to arrive next month. That is routine for them. So it's definitely on an international basis, it's definitely a heck of a good price. You guys, of course, will decide just how much you like it and just how much space you have left. Moving on to perhaps the most exciting price line we've had in the last few weeks has been DAP in the U.S. The price tag has just shot up faster than, frankly, we anticipated. I can say with complete sincerity that we did see a price of 275. We didn't see it until the end of March, though. Here it is. 275 has been done by multiple players, and $280 has been reported to me, although I'm not convinced it's fully part of the market as of this 5 minutes, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're at 280 by the end of the week. What does that do for the U.S.? Again, that works out to about $302 in the U.S. Gulf, which interestingly is about $30 more than they're currently able to export it for at Tampa. That means Mosaic's decision to shut down production to reduce production in Florida while bringing back its New Orleans production certainly makes sense. We don't know this for certain, but it's our understanding they're going to probably run micro essentials heavily early on to meet that. Their domestic demand for that, but certainly it's good news, I think, for the domestic market that they are running their New Orleans, their Deville operation, providing access. As many of you know better than I do, though, the Upper River system will to Iowa, Minnesota, et cetera, will be opening a little bit later this year. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is still predicting about the end of March for needed work on locks, on the locks 25 and 26, I believe it is up there. Moving back offshore, we will finally take a look at urea. The U.S. Gulf, the U.S. is down to you know, we've had a low of 216 at NOLA. We've also had some business at 223, 224 this week. So just using around 220 as a middle ground, and that's down from the previous 2 weeks, obviously. We're still well below the rest of the world. That works out to $208 to the Middle East, which is about almost $40 below what they can get just about anywhere else. It's also below the price available to producers in Algeria and elsewhere in North Africa, and it's even below the Baltic suppliers can expect to get. While U.S. Spot sales theoretically would return about $208 a metric ton to them, they're getting $236 elsewhere. What's the trend for urea internationally? It is looking a little bit weaker in many places. The size of the previous Indian tender disappointed a little bit. There is positive news there if you're a supplier. The Indian government appears to be willing to back an increase in its budget for imported fertilizer. Having said that, the part of the problem they're having in India with buying even more urea, and they're buying because it's cheap, is that their ports are crowded. They're discharging, if they were to double their purchase from their last tender of about 700,000 tons, they would sit at the ports waiting to discharge for quite a while. So even with more money, it's not clear to us how they can increase their intake rapidly, and that means that there's probably still downward pressure on the international market in the near term. As I mentioned, DAP also by comparison, Brazil is at 295 versus our equivalent of 302. Will that attract a lot of tons? It's a $7 difference. It theoretically, on paper, sure, it could. Getting into Brazil and putting cargoes in there is even more difficult than it is getting in through the U.S. Gulf at times. But none of us are expecting a real surge. The Moroccans are well aware of where we are here, so perhaps we'll see, instead of just one cargo a month in January and February, perhaps we may see a little more there. Perhaps we'll see more arriving from Saudi Arabia. That is, I've gone through it as quick as I could because, again, we got to start with potash, my great pleasure after so many years of just saying it's potash. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, BK. I appreciate that update. We might have some interactive questions later and appreciate your insight on the market. You're right. It is rare to have something to talk about on potash other than saying it's potash. There's a couple key points that I would accentuate in your report that I think frame it up for a grower's mind. One, you made the comment this is a good price. If we go back and look at some of the historical charts, we saw prices get down a little bit lower about 3 years ago when we went through a DEA inventory on potash. We saw it get down to 195 NOLA. So you're about $35 away from one of the historic floor prices or 10-year, 20-year floor prices. So I'd keep that in mind as you consider your buying, as you consider your inventory build, whether you're buying forward and looking to the fall timeframe. I would consider that as well. I do believe that we've had a de-inventorying of potash, that primarily the reason why both phosphates, potash, and ammonia have struggled is we've had three basically terrible application windows in the Northern Hemisphere, and then also two terrible application windows in the Chinese market as well. That has led to an oversupply of inventories and ultimately to prices falling. You've been able to take advantage of those fallen prices over the last few months. And we're in that period where I begin to sense the tide turning. I begin to sense inventories getting consumed. I'm getting a sense that we have logistic issues that will start to build as we go into those running periods of the next year. The other key sign that BK pointed out in this potash market is that the Brazilian market's somewhere in that 270, 275 CFR value. You've got the Chinese contracts that have been done. That ultimately means that it's $15 to $20 worse to keep tons here in North America versus supplying the globe. So that does mean that we'll see the U.S. producer try to raise price as inventories are worked down. We'll also see less import tons being attracted here. To BK's point, the importers are somewhat regular. they do have some spot cargoes in their plans and in their market plans, but they will, they'll divert those cargoes slowly and surely into other markets as the liquidity presents itself and slow down the pace of imports into North America. I expect to see that happen through the spring and ultimately leading to a higher fall potash price. That's kind of where we begin to make our outlook and call for potash being something that, that has been a sleeper product, that waiting has been the best option. I believe now locking in your potash is the thing to consider for spring, as well as looking into the fall of 2019. Now, I'm a little early in making this statement, probably earlier than most, but we've seen this pattern year after year where they will get aggressive in the spring to clear out inventories, and then they begin their running program again, and we see prices move up in the fall quite regularly. So that is backed up by some historical pricing trends too. So that's kind of our recommendation. Ultimately, from a downside perspective, we don't think there's a lot of additional downside to the current prices in the marketplace. And if we have good seasons, good weather, we should see a lot of upside. I will reflect these same type of comments in phosphates, and I want to go into that. That one's been, from a trading perspective, it's been one of the most negative products we've had over the last year, right? We went from, I think if we were to go back to December pricing of 2019, we were probably in the 405 to maybe 415 range. And then in December of 2019, we got all the way down to $235 a ton. So well over $170 a ton move. So a really big move in phosphate prices downward, which is why we've had the recommendation to consider locking in your phosphates. And we started that recommendation back in the October-November timeframe, very strongly recommending it. And now we're starting to see the price move back up. We've seen a $40 move in the last 2 weeks on phosphate prices. We went from $235 now to somewhere in the $270s on prompt barges. That trend, we believe, will continue because producers have taken a more active stance of managing inventory. What would cause that trend to be wrong? Well, a terrible season, a bad application window, the inability to de-inventory in North America through application would be the reason why price would come back down. But if we have a good application window, is which we plan for, we hope for anyways, we plan for a lot of things, but we hope for a good application window, that we would see prices probably get up into the $300, $315 a ton range. So I'm still calling for upside price on phosphates in the short term. If you've missed the boat, I do believe there is still upside in pricing, and it's probably still time to consider locking in your phosphate needs for this spring and the coming fall. Those of you who've taken advantage of locking our fall of 2020 prices in, you've done very well. Those are good values, and I think you're going to be very happy with those when we move into the forward months here. On nitrogen, agree with BK. This is the time of year when it's the most dismal for the nitrogen producers. They're looking for homes on UAN. They're looking for homes on urea. They're finding them. And the interesting thing is you start to talk to them about February shipments, March shipments, much more upbeat, much more positive. It's about taking here and now. So I believe that we're seeing some of the negative pricing in the market reflected today. We see NOLA discount to the world. We see the world back about $5 a ton from where it was a few weeks ago. To BK's point, we know India will come back in for additional urea purchases. That could be April, could be as early as February, but we know that they have subsidies to do so, so there'll be more rateable demand coming out of India. The one thing that I would point out on this call, and we talked a little bit about it on the last call, 40% of the global nitrogen production comes out of the Arab Gulf. And BK, please correct me if I'm misspeaking on that number. If I'm off a little bit or if that sounds completely outrageous, please call me out. But that's kind of what we came up with. I was told that by someone smarter than me, but 40% of the global nitrogen production comes out of the Arab Gulf. The one thing that we keep our eye on is whether it's mounting tension in the Arab Gulf or not. And the one thing we have to consider too, none of us have heard about the Straits of Hormuz until about 3 years ago, but those straits are where a lot of the urea and ammonia will transit through to get to the world market. And that border is shared by Iran and then also by the Western Arab countries there. So that's a very key shipping point that we will watch and monitor. When oil spiked up, we saw freight rates increase up. When the initial bombing happened, we saw urea jump up probably $10 to $15 speculatively, just in the fact that the world knows that's a major supply point for the globe. If there were, in fact, something unfortunate to develop there, it would drive prices up well over $100 a ton, which is why, yes, market's flat, maybe $5, $10 a downside. We do not believe it's in your best interest to wait locking in your spring needs and potentially consider locking in around 30 to 40% of your fall inventory build, because these are low prices relative to the historical numbers. So that's our kind of point of view on the four major categories. Now, a couple other points I'd call out here. On UAN, we have producers right now trying to export UAN in the form of urea. That might sound a little goofy, but what they're doing is basically giving a slight discount on domestic supplied interior urea, closing that spread between UAN and urea, and offering to ship into other markets so that they can control the amount of UAN that they would normally be putting into the tank. So they're running what we call a urea preferred supply program out of their plants. And that's ultimately trying to decrease the amount of UAN they have. We believe that UAN prices have corrected. We've seen CF over the month of December drop their price about $15 a ton at the river terminals to be more competitive, to block out the imports, and to send the signal these are good prices to lock in. So again, a little bit more emphasis on the UAN point. Probably not the time to wait and try and capture another $5 a downside. It's probably the time to get your UAN locked in if you've not done so, and consider locking in your top dress needs if you can get pricing on those June, July tons. As we real quick, couple talking points on sulfate. The North American sulfur market has been long. It's long primarily driven by a couple factors. You don't have phosphate producers consuming as much as what they normally would. So therefore, if sulfur is long, it backs up the supply and ultimately eats into the sulfate pricing. And so we've had sulfate pricing come off about $5, $10 a ton. There could be additional downside in that sulfate price. But again, now with the price correction we've seen, we believe that you should consider locking in your spring sulfate needs as well. So again, our recommendations, historical prices. I do sound like a used car salesman. I know it. I'm recommending that basically everything's a buy right now, but these are very low prices when you consider where they're at from a historical basis. You take into account the potential upside that the market could move on. These are good things to consider consider locking in and get your basis locked in on costs here. So that being said, that's kind of our fertilizer comments. Now, let's hear what you'd share with us, Brian, on the grain side of things, the bean side of things.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks, Jake, for once again having me here today. If you're in a commodity trading side of the business or the equity trading side of this business, we are really fighting through a lot of information overload here. I mean, we're talking phase one deal that gets signed today. We continue to hear about impeachment. We hear about Iran. We hear about election, Democratic debate. This past Friday, we had a lot of information come out from USDA. That included final production numbers for 2019 here in the U.S. We got December 1st stocks, which are first indication as to just how those production numbers laid into the bin sites, whether it's farm or commercial type storage areas. We got revised S&Ds. We got South American production estimates coming on. And we got a whole bunch of other things that we continue to talk about. So talk about information overload this time of year. Let's just quickly talk a little bit about phase one that supposedly we are supposed to sign here today, and maybe supposedly isn't the right term. It gets signed this morning in Washington. That phase one doesn't remove all of the tariffs that are in place now within the U.S. on Chinese goods, or vice versa, remove all the tariffs from the Chinese side, but it's our first opportunity to maybe open up trade just a little bit. That phase one, U.S. basically dropped that currency manipulator term. That was part of that phase one agreement. It also has indications that we're supposed to basically have the Chinese import $200 billion worth of U.S. goods. That's about $75 billion worth of manufactured goods. That's $50 billion in energy. That's $40 billion in agriculture and about $35 billion in U.S. services, which, again, commitments by the Chinese to definitely take a peek at U.S. goods and make sure that they're buying our product as much as we are buying their products. When you convert it back to U.S. agriculture, if you're myself being a local soybean trader, we're hoping that this opens up the bean market that we can relatively trade it every day. Again, $40 billion worth of U.S. agricultural goods. That's about $15 billion above the highest mark that they set back in 2017. So it takes a little bit of effort to get there, but we're hoping again we get some opportunity to create some real trade. If you want to take a little quick peek at what we did here with the report here in January on stocks and so forth, basically all of our numbers year over year, we've tightened up stocks just a little bit here in the U.S. We've got the overall carryout number down on corn going to be down about 330 million bushels from last year. They projected the U.S. Supply and demand on corn now this year at 1,892 billion bushels. Again, that's down a little bit from last year. We've got bean S&Ds that are also going to be down just a little bit. We're going to go down from 909 million bushel carryout last year to about a 475 number. So overall, we take carryouts down. And that, again, that's based on all of our stocks indications on D1st being just a little bit weaker. We're down 548 million versus last year on overall corn stocks on these one. We're down 494 million on bean stocks. All these things indicate that we had a struggle with U.S. production this year. No doubt about it. We're, I guess if you look at the final report on lost acreage this year, it came out at just over 11 million acres that got lost on prevent plant. So this one was that big, big number that showed us just how those lost acres really affected us, how the weather over this last summer really turned out and what it did to our yields. I mean, if you look at the corn yield, we took that down about 10 bushels per acre versus last year. We actually had the bean yield down about, 4 bushels per acre versus last year. So everything just a little bit weaker. And again, just information overload on anything that we've got going on. That in itself becomes just a little bit overwhelming. Next thing we move into is just trying to figure out what South America offers for their production numbers. And from that standpoint, that's the item that continues to hang over us from a price mechanism just in the world market. South American production from a soybean standpoint looks to set another record again. There's some indications we're going to have 123 to 125 million metric ton crop of soybeans in South America this year. That's up versus 117 million last year. Their corn crop's expected to grow another 100 million metric tons worth of corn, which is the same as last year. Argentina's seen a little bit of weather problems down there, so they're going to have a crop that's just a little bit smaller than last year, but either way, from an overall supply standpoint within the world, South America seems to be the one that continues to add to that supply and keep this market from presenting any great big pricing opportunities from an agricultural side in this thing. We'll continue to watch that South American crop, see how it finalizes. Brazilian bean harvest is just starting. There's bits and pieces that are happening, and so far everything's kind of as expected. Argentine harvest won't start until April. But we're starting to see just what kind of crop we are having coming out of South America. From a standpoint, kind of wrapping up here, it's all about this phase one deal in the Chinese. We're hoping we see some business kind of out of the chute. We're thinking like the bean crush traders in China will have an opportunity to buy U.S. beans without having going and getting quota from this Chinese government first. We don't anticipate we'll see a lot of bean exports out of the U.S. right up front, but we hope as we raise this coming crop in front of us that we get a very, very nice opportunity to sell some of our last old crops and move into next year's production and be able to create an export program for basically OND into 2021 of JFM, where we're competing readily selling beans into China. We expect there's probably some spring wheat that moves into China. There's also expectations that we'll see some other commodities that they haven't bought so much in the past, along with the meat supply that they need to buy and all these things adding up hopefully to about $40 billion worth of U.S. agricultural goods. But with that, like I say, a lot of information overload here. We'll wait for this Chinese phase one to get signed today, and hopefully we see some opportunities as we move forward. Thanks.
Brian, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. If the phase one deal signed here this morning, I think it's at 10:30 Central Time when they sign. Do you expect immediate orders following, or have they kind of already put their book in for this particular quarter? What's the market expecting out of China on bookings coming forward?
There is some anticipation that we're going to see some immediate orders. There was a great big list of things that we thought those immediate orders might cover a wider range of commodities. But right now, that list kind of improves. What we're hearing is kind of the meat side of the sector, which they really need right now because of what's happened with the ASF in China. We expect some of the wheat supplies possibly as immediate type orders, of which they can fill in quickly with those needs. And then we do expect some bean orders and so forth that, again, it just opens up our bean market. You know, the Chinese are the biggest importers of beans around the world, and we have expectations that we'll have a chance now at doing that business every day without somebody hanging over our head telling us that we can't do it.
No, that'll be great. That'll be great for all of our growers on the call today. Well, that really does sum up our Farm Direct call this week. We appreciate your time. So that's the end of our report for January 2020, and we hope that you join us on February 26th for our next call. That'll be the week after the Fertilizer Institute Conference, which where BK and I will have gone to and visited with industry experts and producers and hopefully come back with a renewed point of view on where this market's going to go, if anywhere different from what we currently expect. What I'm going to do now is thank you for being on the call. I'll unmute the line and take your questions.
Do you have any comments on ammonia?
Yeah, absolutely. The ammonia right now is one that doesn't add up in my mind. So the international price strengthened this last month. Normally that wouldn't happen when you have phosphate production being under pressure and them making as many cuts as they have. But what it was is the ammonia market had contracts they were fulfilling. So we could see a slight bit of pressure on ammonia in the month of February and March as they go through those first quarter cuts that have been made. Now, international pressure does not always mean interior pressure, especially if it's right before spring season. So, BK, I'd ask you if you have anything different, but what we're seeing here is prompt shipping is discount, with everyone expecting and building a carry into the market. And we expect them to capture that carry because it gets back to relatively poor ammonia application window in the fall. They know there's only a certain amount of capacity they can push through the pipeline and through the refrigerated storage in the marketplace. And they know that there's more demand if you add up what didn't go down in the fall relative to what has to go down for the entire year. They expect prices to basically, they expect inventory to run out on ammonia during the spring season with a normal application window. So most of the producers are showing a relatively strong price. We don't expect a spring decrease in price, only a discount if you could take it now. And that's really what we're seeing. BK, you seeing anything different?
That's exactly what we're seeing. If you've got space to buy it now, you can get competition from a number of suppliers, but nobody's willing to quote the same price for delivery for your side dress season.
Thank you for the question.